Nazir Perek Tes, Mishnah Gimel 9:3. Because the previous Mishnah had employed the term raglaim ledavar, that there is a basis for the matter, that was in the context over there. So this Mishnah and the following Mishnah talks about other topics that are really nothing to do with Nazir, where we say because there's raglaim ledavar, there's a basis for the matter, we rule regarding some uncertain situation based on its presumption, its raglaim ledavar, what the facts, the circumstantial facts suggest is the case. So the first case here, Mishnah Gimel, is talking about if one discovers an unmarked grave, a person's been buried in the ground here, what to do about it. So the general rule is that if a person finds an unmarked grave and it's a one-off, even if it's a Jew, if we just found it one-off, so we assume that this wasn't intended to be their permanent burial spot, and therefore we're allowed to relocate that corpse, the skeleton, really. In the event that we have reason to believe that this was intended to be its permanent burial place, one may not relocate the corpse. Instead, just there's like a marker put on top using sid, like plaster, to demark where the corpse lies so that people can avoid becoming tummy, and you have to leave it as is. So the question is, how do we know if this person we find buried here, this corpse, was here to be left and buried with the intention of being left forever, or if it was intended to be a temporary burial? Now just understand that in the time of the Mishnah, it was commonplace that a person would have two burials. He would be buried once, and then left to decompose for a year, and then would be buried. The body, the bones would be exhumed out of the ground and then reinterred in a secondary burial in like part of a crypt, part of like a burial chamber, where typically people have their, like I'll call it their families or extended families, use as their, you know, their burial chamber, their family burial chamber. So that being the case, if you find just a one-off grave and no one knew that someone was buried here before, so then we'll assume this wasn't intended to be a permanent burial. Okay, so the Mishnah says inside, Hamotzi meis b'techila. If a person discovers a new skeleton in the ground, a corpse buried, and no one knew there was anyone buried here before, even if it's mushkav kadarko, even if it's lying buried in the way that a Jew is typically buried, meaning if the corpse had been found like with a sword in its heart, so then obviously that wasn't intended for permanent burial. But even if it was buried in a way that looks like it was buried, but let's say, for example, it was lying in a way that's not the customary way by which one buries a Jew. Say, for example, the Yerushalmi says the way that Jews were typically buried was like lying down with their legs straight, as one lies, with one's hands over his heart. Nowadays, the custom is the hands go beside the body, but the point is lying down like that. So then that would suggest it's a very possibly probably a Jew. As opposed to, let's say, for example, if the corpse had been, let's say, in fetal position, lying on its side, or head between its legs or something like that, so then that would suggest it wasn't a Jew anyways, and then it for sure could be relocated. But here we have a Jew assumed to have not been one-off burial, which very likely wasn't tended to be the permanent place of burial, because even though it's mushkav kadarko, it's lying as it normally a Jew is buried. So then, note lo ve'est tvusaso. The lach is one may relocate the body, taking it, and tvusaso, the ground beneath it. The exact etymology of that word is not perfectly clear. There are a couple opinions, but whatever it is, the meaning is that all the earth beneath the skeleton or corpse, as well as 3 fingers of depth of what appears to be like kind of virgin soil that was never buried, never dug into before, and that should also be exhumed with the body and reburied, because the concern is that the body has certain liquids that will come out of it, blood and other things. We saw Netzel not long ago in the Masechta. So these things that can come out of the body also are part of the body and should be buried with it. There are 2 approaches to the rationale for this requirement. One is it's a din derabanan, a rabbinic requirement, because of kavod hameis, for the sake of the dignity of the deceased, and that he should be buried with all of his parts, if you will, and etc. And the other approach is that it's an issue of tahara, that since We said netzil and so on could be a source of toma, so therefore we want to make sure that anything that could be a source of toma is removed at the same time. As far as the etymology of tvus aso, so assuming it's the gears we have in front of us with a samach, so then most likely explanation is, like the Perusha Rambam, is that it's from the word like misboseses bedamayich, the verse in Yechezkel talking about us like wallowing in our blood, so it's coming from there. Okay, there are other yourselves and other explanations. Now, at that point we said since there's one corpse being found, we are assuming that it's a one-off. Matzah shnaim, if you find two corpses, so then notlan ves tfus asan. The halacha is you take both of them and the ground beneath them, and yes, again, may relocate them, because two doesn't establish that we're talking about a larger burial area. But matzah shlosha, once three separate skeletons have been discovered, so now we need to decide whether this is really part of a larger complex where people have been buried or not. So because the way in which Jews during the Second Temple period, during the Mishnah period, buried their dead, it was very consistent and predictable. Because we're doing a recording here, I can't really show you pictures. It'd be helpful if you see one inside of Mishnayos, but I can confirm that the pictures you see in the Mishnayos books as diagrams really conform to what I've seen all over the country in numerous places of burial crypts where the bodies really are structured such you have like essentially a central cave and then little kuchen, little slots in the walls, really just like two or three elements apart, one to the next, and you have three on each side, on a side of, let's say, six almost, you'd have three of them, and if it's four almost, you'd have two of them, and they're really very consistently and neatly laid out. So the point here of our Mishnah is, you can start now determining, based on sort of I'll call it simple geometry, Pythagorean theorem and so on, how many slots there should be in a given area, meaning how close together these different skeletons would be to suggest they're buried as part of a larger complex as opposed to just sort of lying around willy-nilly. So the Mishnah here says, Im yesh bein zeh lezeh, if the distance between this one and that one, meaning the first one and the third one, the two that are farthest apart, me arba amos va'ad shmone, is between 4 and 8 amos in distance. So I don't want to go through the math and the numbers here, just we'll get bogged down by it. But if they're between 4 and 8 amos apart, so then harezu shchunas kvaros, that confirms that we're talking about a larger burial area, literally like a neighborhood for graves. But the point is, it's been a larger burial area, in which case there are probably, or very possibly, lots of graves there. But more importantly, we can confirm that these particular graves, these particular bodies were buried with the intention of them being permanently buried without being relocated, and therefore one can't relocate them. So we have to do two things. We have to identify what other bodies may have been buried over here, and to mark them off, and also to confirm that these particular ones can't be moved, that you marked as they are. So therefore the Mishnah, and people will walk around them. So the Mishnah here says, Bodek heimenu ulahalan esrim ama. You have to search now in the opposite directions from where you found these initial bodies, like moving, radiating outwards. Esrim ama, 20 amos in all directions, roughly 10 meters. Call that, 30 feet, something like that. To check if there are more skeletons that have been buried in the area, so we'll mark off the larger area. And matza echad besof esrim ama, if you indeed find another skeleton, even 20 amos away. So then, boda kemeno ulalan esramam. You have to keep on searching, radiating further and further out, another 20 amos in each direction, to find out where all of these bodies have been buried, to mark off the whole area as one large, burial area. Shiraglaim ladavar, because now we have a basis for the matter. And that phrase, raglaim ladavar, is why we mentioned this Mishnah here in Nazir, because of the previous Mishnah used it also. Meaning, if we had found just one skeleton all by itself, the rule would have been you can just take it and relocate it along with the ground beneath it. But now that we have three different skeletons that have been discovered, so now we have a basis to believe these aren't just ad hoc burials that were temporary, but rather this is part of a permanent burial area, and therefore none of them can be removed. The whole area must just be marked off where the graves are, and left to be as they are.